The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Welcome to Exploring the Word. This is Bert Harper along with Wesley Wildman. Wesley, it's good to have you with us today.
I'm glad to be here. I'm looking forward to diving through the book of Deuteronomy here.
Amen. Well, Alex McFarland on the road again, and I don't know exactly where he is, but he's either probably in an airport or an airplane.
Yeah, and he probably doesn't know where he is. He just know where he's going.
Yeah, and we do pray for Alex as he travels. He travels more than anybody that we know is connected with AFR. Now Dan Sue, he travels quite a bit as well. But not like Alex.
That's right. Not going to be able to top Alex.
And so we do want to pray for him. And I know you love him and care for him. And he is in the air a lot and on the road a lot. So we do appreciate your prayers for him. Well, Wesley, we're in the book of Deuteronomy, and we're in chapter 18. And it introduces us to the two spiritual offices that you find in the Old Testament, the priest and the prophet. Mm-hmm. Now, you had the king, but, you know, that is a secular quote, but not completely secular.
Right.
It was a blending in of it. And guess what? The priest and the prophet were the same way.
Uh-huh.
Guess what? They would meddle into state issues, governmental issues.
Right.
You remember, Nathan, the prophet would go to David and say, "You're the man."
Yeah.
So there was, you know, some crossover. That separation, church and state, wasn't quite the issue that it is today.
Yeah, not so much there.
Okay, so let's look at this. We find it in chapter 18, and we're first talking about the priest. And again, let me give this, and you've probably heard this, and then I want you to comment on it as well. If you put it in simple terms, and that's me, I do think that way, and I'm not a complicated kind of guy. The priest took the people to God, and the prophet brought God to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in that way, the prophet had a word from God. There's three words that are used in the Old Testament concerning the prophet, and when they were called, it was a vision, a word, or a burden, uh-huh. or a combination of them.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they received something from the Heavenly Father that they were delivered to the people. And the priest, as they would make their prayers and the sacrifices, they would take them to the Heavenly Father. And I know that's simple, but that is really the task of these two offices.
Yeah, and you're right. And I appreciate you, Brother Bert, for sharing that and making it simple so your everyday average listener, layperson like myself, can understand it. And understanding these two different roles and how they were both necessary in order to accomplish, which is why we see in the New Testament where Jesus, he's all three.
Amen. Uh-huh. He is. And we're going to get to that. Matter of fact, in the latter part of chapter 18, when they talk about the prophet, uh-huh. in the New King James Version and others, the prophet is capitalized.
Uh-huh.
Those early prophets were pictures of Jesus mm-hmm. and his prophetic role. Now, he was more than a prophet, okay?
Right.
But
right.
he was a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's dig into the priest. And by the way, Jesus would also be a priest, not after the Aaron, but out to the order of Melchizedek.
Right.
Okay? Because he was the tribe of Judah. And the priest could only be from the tribe, you know, of Levi, mm-hmm. and from his son Aaron, and then would be the priest. The others would be Levites, and they would serve in the temple as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's dig into one or two passages here that I think will be beneficial. Chapter 18, verse 1, "The priest, the Levites, indeed, all the tribe of Levi, shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire in his portion." They did not get the land. Now, what happened, they had 12 tribes that would divide the land up. Levi, which was one of them, didn't get it, but Joseph would get a double portion.
Huh.
I always figured this out, and I haven't got it yet. And this is one of the things I do want to know when I get to heaven. I wonder when I get to heaven, will I get to ask, or will I automatically know, or will it be that important or not? I figure it's in one of those three categories.
Yeah.
You catch what I'm saying?
Yeah, I catch what
but
you're saying.
But if I were, I thought that Jesus should have come from the tribe of Joseph.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
He's one of the most picturesque Old Testament characters to demonstrate the Messiah. And yet he comes from the tribe of Judah. But isn't that just like God?
Yeah.
To take that which, you know, his ways are beyond our ways.
Yeah, yeah. And in the New Testament, he talks about how things that are small, or you actually, if you look just through the Old Testament, you get examples after examples of how he uses those that seem insignificant or maybe have made mistakes or that are least likely. He uses those for his glory. And so this is just one more example of that.
Well, you see it later on, because when the tribes would split and they would become two nations, Judah, the big nation, would be one by itself and large. So there's a lot of things there. But, you know, that shows you that God's got it, not us. You know?
Exactly.
Now, verse 2 says, "Therefore they shall have no inheritance among their brethren. The Lord is their inheritance, as he said to them." Now, let me share this with you a little bit and see what you think about this. It says the Lord is their inheritance. They were to get benefits from the offerings and the tithes that the people would bring in. Now, in our day, we're not still, we don't have priests. We are a royal priesthood.
Right.
We have no inheritance apart from our relationship with Christ either. You catch that?
Yes.
And we, our priestly nature, as we're a royal priesthood, comes from that relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And when it said they had no inheritance, there it is again. Those little, I call them little nuggets from the Old Testament that you see our relationship with Christ being demonstrated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if you continue on, it says in verses, I want to read 6, 7, 8, 9, "And if a Levite comes from any of your gates, from where he sojourns among all the Israel, and comes with all the desire of his mind to the place which the Lord chooses, then he may serve in the name of the Lord his God, for all his brethren, the Levites, do what stand there before the Lord. They shall have equal portions to eat besides what comes from the sale of his inheritance." Now, what they're referring to, everyone's, they got a fair share.
Right.
You know, regardless of how far they would come, they were 48 Levitical cities. Now, they were representatives of God. They had time to saturate themselves in the law of God that Moses had given, and they should become, I hate to use the word experts, but they should become very knowledgeable, and they were there to advise and consent, and there was 48 cities spread out through all the land, so they would be available. Mm. It also, again, I don't want to just keep it here. I want to bring it over in the New Testament. That's the way it's good. In Jesus says, "I go away so the Holy Spirit can come and he'll be with you."
Yeah.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
God has always come to make himself known to his people.
Yeah.
Okay? So 48 cities spread out throughout the land so that the Levites would be there who had a connection with God, connection with his word, that they would be there to contribute to society.
Yeah. Hey, man, that's awesome. And I was going to read verse 9 for us. It says, "When you come into the land that the Lord God has given you, you shall not learn to follow the abominable practices of those nations." And golly, that speaks for itself right there. But so much of our nation was founded on godly principles. And it was founded on Scripture. I did the Spiritual Heritage Tour with my dad a couple months back, and there was places that we went way back when we were founded, and the stuff, Christianity, Bible verses, and all that stuff was engraved in stone in the walls. So, I mean, it was, you couldn't get away from it. And so I think that's something that we need to get back to. But I feel like a lot of the things that we may have adopted over time have been from, you know, pagan nations, other places, when we need to kind of go back there, because we can read right here where it says, "Shall not learn to follow the abominable practices of those nations."
And verse 10, "There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or who practices witchcraft, soothsayer, or one who interprets omens and sorcerers." Don't give room for Satan and his tools. Those are all tools of Satan to distract you from living the faith life in God, not in what man can conjure up or what other spirits may be among you. They are to succumb. You're to put them away. that's still good in a household. I believe you ought to cleanse your home of certain things. Ouija boards, you know, don't terracotta, don't make room for them, okay?
Yeah.
Don't get, I mean, I know folks that do it, have done it for fun. Look at, you know, their astrology, you know, and look at all of that, what sign they were under. But it can be. It can become dangerous. You open the door for Satan to move in, to take in more room than he should.
Yeah, so you shouldn't do that. But on the flip side, what I think you should do and what we've done is there's some really cool stuff at Hobby Lobby where you can put Bible verses on the wall. And so that's a two-in-one. You're supporting Amen. A good place like Hobby Lobby, but also you're putting Bible verses on your wall. And you know,
sounds like you've been there with your wife.
Yeah, I have.
Okay,
that was one of the things we now I don't know. Are you making fun of me here?
No, I've been there too.
Okay, all right. Well, there's some things you got to do as part of date night, and that's one of them. Go to Hobby Lobby.
Well, I want to tell you what we did a few years ago. Jen and I, we were able to build a home, and what we did over every door, over every window, we wrote a Bible verse. I mean, in our house, when they take the sheetrock off, and if they ever do, there'll be a Bible verse that will be there. We just wrote, Jan went through, and she found all the verses there were concerning a door or a way, and wrote them over the doors going outside or an inside and the windows about the light coming in. Over a shower, it is wash, and you'll be cleansed.
Yeah.
You know,
so
And the men who came in and saw that, it was a witness to them. They said, this is something.
Yeah.
Some of them were believers, and they said, man, I'm going to do that when we do ours. And those that were lost, they said, man, I've never seen anything like that. What does this mean?
What does it mean? Yeah. Well, you know, my mom did the very same thing, the exact same thing with the house that they just built. She went around putting a Bible verse, and she, of course, was asked questions by some of the builders there. Half, you know, were Christians, half was not. She was able to answer some of the questions about what the Bible verse was.
Well, that makes me think, you know, when the children of Israel would cross over the Jordan River, and it will take place after this, they'll get over there, and he'll say, get these 12 stones, and you stack them. And when people come, and I love the way the King James Version, certain things in the King James Version, just you can't beat it because of the way it's read. It says, what mean these stones?
Read that real fast.
Yeah, that's like Yoda, I guess. Sounds like Yoda and Star. What mean these stones? And it says, you'll be able to tell them about the Lord and his deliverance. Mm. So there's certain things like the decorating your house.
Right.
Now, here it is, two guys talking about this, and we're not experts on this. But decorating your house and doing certain things at your house, it should be a witness to cause people to ask, well, what does this mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's an opportunity. And I think here, they're talking about that. Real quickly, we're going to try to get here. Look, if you would, in the two verses that I was talking about, verses 15 and 18. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren, whom you shall hear. A prophet like Moses. Hey, Jesus came to fulfill the law. Mm-hmm. He was that prophet. Verse 18, I'll raise up for you from them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak of them as I have commanded him. Jesus, the prophetic word of Jesus Christ coming. Wesley, Jesus Christ came. The law was given. Mm-hmm. Jesus came not to do away with the law, fulfill the law, and give meaning to it.
Yeah, so we're going to get a really good example of that in the next chapter as we get to when we come back from our break, as we discuss an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, where Jesus explains that to us a little further.
We're going to get to that. Thank you for listening. Wesley Wildman, Bert Harper with you today on Exploring the Word. We'll be back right after the break. Don't go away.
Dan Celia of Financial Issues.
You know, there's probably never been a more important time in our economy to be thinking about a charitable gift annuity. I hope you'll do that just to shore up, to firm up some more income, permanent income, income that you can count on for the rest of your life while you're doing the Lord's work. A charitable gift annuity has been something I've been talking about for 25 years. Finally, we're seeing even mainstream start to get on board with the merits of charitable gift annuities. I hope you'll consider it. You can call the AFA Foundation. Someone there will help you work through the details and find out whether you qualify for a charitable gift annuity.
Call and speak with a representative of the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
This is Holy Land Moments, presented by the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. For Zion is a community of people who have a desire to learn about the incredible history of Israel and the hopes and prayers for this great land that both Jews and Christians call holy. Here's Ami Farkas.
It's a common sight in the news. A group of terrorists or anti-Semitic demonstrators gather around the familiar blue and white Israeli flag and set it alight. We're used to seeing the desecration of our flag among our enemies, but when others do it, Israelis and friends of Israel are willing to call it out. That's what happened when Amazon was forced to remove listings from its store to a series of products depicting the blood-splattered flag of Israel. A selection of items, including mobile phone cases, doormats, mouse pads, pillow covers, and shower curtains, were available from various suppliers with the same design. An Israeli flag with bloodstains across it. An umbrella with the defaced flag on it carried for $23.19, and the product description, you'll be hoping for a rainy day so you can use this unique umbrella. But thanks to the power of social media and the loyalty of our treasured friends, Amazon listened. Negative reviews were posted, and angry supporters of Israel took to Facebook and Twitter to denounce the items, and they were eventually removed. Anti-Semitism is still a very real thing. Thanks to you, however, goodness continues to win over hate. This is Ami Farkas.
You've been listening to Holy Land Moments. Learn more about the Land of Israel and the Jewish faith with our free educational resource, Limud. More information is available at holylandmoments.org. That's holylandmoments.org.
Hey, it's Crane, and coming up at 5 Central on this afternoon is Nothing But Truth. We'll examine the issues dividing America, as well as address the cultural, economic, and national security challenges for the next president. Plus, we'll have a VP update, and Hans von Spakovsky will break down yesterday's testimony of Loretta Lynch. So join us this afternoon at 5 Central for Nothing But Truth on AFR Talk.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert. You're listening to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Welcome back to Explore the Word. Wesley Wildman, Bert Harper with you. Alex is out today traveling, and he does that quite a bit. But we're thankful, Wesley, that you could be in. And we were finishing up chapter 18, but verses 20 through 22 answer some of the questions about prophets and how you know if they were real or not, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. You know, I love apologetics, and so when I have time, I like to read where people ask questions and they give a good answer for it. And a lot of the times when you're studying the authority of Scripture and whether it's inspired or not and you have questions about it, oftentimes your critics will say, obviously, like, what's the difference between, how come we don't have prophets nowadays? And then they get to the point where they're like, well, how do you even know a prophet was telling the truth, you know? Or what? If you read here, we have the answer to that in verses 21 through 22. This is Deuteronomy chapter 18. And if you say in your heart, how may we know that the word of the Lord has been spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, then that is the word of the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken and presumptuously. You need not be afraid. And I think it's the verse of the
verse 20.
Verse 20 is what
I go back and read it.
Okay. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in the name that I have not commanded him to speak, or he speaks in the name of another god, that prophet shall die.
Okay. So
we see right there that the prophets that did not speak truth, that were not speaking as a word of the Lord, they were killed.
Do you understand why some of the prophets were reluctant?
Yeah, exactly.
Lord, not me.
Lord, not me, exactly.
Well,
even back then, as we see now, maybe not as much as then, now we have musicians nowadays as entertainment. Back then, the musicians were manipulative and was trying to make a gain or trying to do something on their behalf. So that was another main reason for that consequence for lying.
But you do see the Lord wants to commune with his people or communicate. Right. And he wants them to communicate with him through the priestly order.
Yeah.
And God had a word for them through the prophets. Matter of fact, the book of Hebrews talks about that. It says he had spoken to us.
Uh-huh.
He's spoken to us through his prophets. And that was, but in the latter days, he's spoken to us through his word. And that's God's word to us. So God had a word for his people. I want to say God still has a word for his people. It's called the Bible.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And does God speak? Yes, through his Holy Spirit, he will speak, but it will be right on with the Word of God. It will never be contrary to the Word of God.
Right. And I'm grateful to know that we have a God that uses people and has a relationship with people, and he didn't just put us on earth and tell us good luck. He's all the way back to the prophets. He used people to communicate his Word, and now we have a lot of really good pastors and leaders here in America and across the world that have been trained in the Word of God that we can submit to, we can learn from. So we've got a lot of really good people that God's raised up for such a time as this. And he did so back then, and he's doing so today.
Well, in chapter 19, we get to a judicial form of government, okay? And it's in locations called cities of refuge. And let me just read verses 1 and 2. It says, and this is chapter 19, when the Lord your God has cut off the nations whose land the Lord your God has given you, and you dispossess them and dwell in their cities and in their houses. In other words, you go and you take care of business. These people that have been there for years and years, they've had opportunity to turn to me, but they have not. You go in and you take their land. I'm giving it to you. Verse 2 says, you shall separate three cities for yourselves in the midst of your land, which the Lord your God has given you to possess. And you shall prepare roads for yourself and divide into three parts the territory of your land, which the Lord your God has given you to inherit, that any manslayer may flee there. And this is the case of the manslayer who flees there, that he may live, whoever kills his neighbor unintentionally, not having hated him in time past. And you can read the rest of it. And it says in verse 6, it introduces us to what is called the Avenger of Blood. Or in other places, it could be called the Kinsman Redeemer.
Right.
But it says, lest the Avenger of Blood, while his anger is hot, pursue the manslayer and overtake him because the way is long, and kill him though he was not worthy of death, since he had not hated the victim in time past. Now, what this is talking about, a judicial plan, and let's give a synopsis of it or an example. Two men out, and they're cutting a tree, okay? One of the men is cutting the tree. He's got his axe, and he cuts it, and it falls on his friend completely unintentionally.
Sure.
But, you know, okay, can't prove it. He checks him out. He is dead. He knows that. He goes to one of these cities of refuge, and he stays there in that city until the kinsman redeemer or the avenger of blood comes and finds him there, and they tell the story to the judges or the elders who sit in the gate, and they will make a determination. If it was accidental, there's a price to pay. He was careless. He will have to stay there under the person who is the high priest, dies, and then he would be safe to leave and is free. But if they judge that it was murder, he had anger or hatred in his heart, he planned on this,
right,
then the Avenger of Blood could kill immediately. They could stone him there. So they had a judicial system that God set in place. And notice what it says. You select these cities of refuge and make the roads to it quick and even. Make sure that you can get to these cities with no problem.
Yeah, and I think, you know, and I'm no expert in any of our judicial system by any means, but I think a lot of times much of our repercussions for what we do as citizens is drawn out. And I noticed here that he says quick and easy. And so I think that's something that we obviously need to get back to as a nation when it comes to disciplining or you know what I mean, the consequences.
It's a good point. Let me share, it says three. Now, what's going to happen when they come into the land and they settle the land? there are going to be three on one side of the Jordan River and three cities of refuge on the other side. So there'd be six cities of refuge. And you look to see where they are, you'll find out they're strategically located north, central, and south.
Right.
So that there would be easy access on either side of the Jordan River. And also, when you look at the names, and we did this in the book of Joshua, you'll find each one of them, their names has meaning that's characteristic of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
In other words, cities of refuge, where do we go?
Right.
We go to our refuge. The Psalms over and over again will talk about he's a refuge in a time of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus Christ is our refuge. And even the cities of refuge that we're introduced here, that's a judicial system. So you have a spiritual the priest and the prophets.
Sure.
Here you have a judicial system to judge in a society or a government.
Yeah.
So God is helping them every step of the way.
Yeah, and it's very interesting too, because for some a little bit of an application for those that are listening, when you look at the Old Testament, you know, of course we had the civil law and we had the moral law. Well, much of what we've discussed today is an explanation or expanded version of the moral law. Because we're talking about murder here. So it kind of provides, for me, it's very helpful for me because I'm a very black and white, straight, you know. So he was dead, but a lot of times I really needed chapter 19 to kind of understand that, to remind myself, wait, hold on, accidents can happen. And then what do you do then? Because if you do the eye for the eye on an accident, that doesn't necessarily, it's not fair. And so, and God... He in his great wisdom, he provides us really good clarity for that.
He does. And so continuing in that, to bring the judicial system, it talks about the witnesses, and it brings us to verse 15, and that's going to get us to verse 21 that you're referring to. It says, when they have their trial, okay, one witness shall not rise against a man concerning any iniquity of any sin that he commits by the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter shall be established.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at credible witnesses that can help determine the what took place, whether it was intentional or unintentional,
right.
Whether it's planned, whatever the case might be. Mm-hmm. You're looking at it being two or three witnesses. You carry that over into the New Testament, and you have like a brother in Christ,
mm-hmm.
and you need to bring that brother that's wayward away. You go to them first, but then if they don't respond, you take another one with you, a witness, so they can witness and also encourage truth for the brother to come back. So some of these principles are, even though this is the judicial system in the Old Testament, it still has principles today about witnesses in our day, not just in the judicial system, but also in our own lives as believers in Christ and followers of Christ.
Yeah, as much as we've got wrong in our country or that we've got away from, one of the things, you know, think about in a court case, there's always witnesses, and that's necessary, and that was God's idea, and it's necessary to have witnesses. One other thing I promised that I would point out on this program before we got here, Brother Bird, is when we got to the murder part, and you said the intentional part,
intentional
murder. Well, we saw that, sadly to say, in Dallas.
Last Friday,
and so we just want to take just a second to say, just please remember those police officers that were murdered in Dallas,
Texas. Their families. They're hurting.
Yeah, they're hurting. The chief, the sheriff, or the police chief there, and all the things that he's having to deal with over these last couple weeks. And so, just remember them and across the nation, those police officers that serve us, and all that they do to protect and defend. And man, they just do such a great job. So just remember them and their families. That's what I wanted to make sure we.
Well, we want to take time to pray. We don't. Try to, okay, we're going to open in prayer and we do that. We try to be open to the Spirit of God.
Sure.
And I think the Spirit of God is letting us know that we need to pray for their families, but also all the police officers and all the families that have lost their even the children, because they're hurting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Regardless of who's to blame or not to blame, death is difficult for a family, regardless
really
of who
is.
It is. So we want to pray for all of them. Wesley, would you lead us in this prayer?
Sure. Father God, thank you so much for the police officers and those in authority and the sheriffs and all those who carry a badge that protect us, Father. I pray that you'll just bless their efforts, Father. And we pray for the 0.5%, Father, that dishonor a uniform. Lord, we pray that you would remove them from their position, Father, but we're so grateful for the 99.5 that uphold their promises to protect and defend us, Father, and all the things they do, Father. As the chief of police said in Dallas, Father, we as a nation, as civilians, have given the officers way too much, more than as their job requires, Father. And we pray that we would come together as a people, as a government, and start removing unnecessary burdens on their backs so that they can do their job to the best of their abilities. Father, for those that the families that have lost their loved ones and the police force over the Dallas shooting, Father, we just pray for them, Father, that you just move in their hearts. We've already seen much of their responses that honor you and that are glorify you and that are kind. Father, we just pray that be with them as they go through this difficult time. And Father, I pray that you would somehow work together some good out of this, Father, for the families that respond in a way that honors you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Yeah, thank you, Wesley. Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening to the Lord about what we needed to do and remembering them. Three of them are being buried today.
Yes.
Probably have been at this point in time,
yes,
or will be, and the other two the rest of the week. So mm-hmm. we want to continue praying for those families. Also in chapter 19, as we finish up, it says, if a false witness, verse 16, if a false witness arises against any man to testify against him of wrongdoing, then both men in the controversy shall stand before the Lord, before the priest and the judges serving in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquiry. Don't make a rash decision, a diligent inquiry.
Mm-hmm.
That does it. There's a difference in speed and haste.
Right.
Okay? You're to do it speedily, but not in haste,
right,
where you would make it. And that needs to be qualified. And indeed, if the witness is a false witness who has testified falsely against his brother, then you shall do to him as he thought to have done to his brother. Okay, you know, in our judicial system, there's perjury is a serious charge. And a lot of things are going on, perjury before the Senate committee,
sure,
and so forth. So it was serious then, it is serious now. Verse 20 and 21, and those who remain shall hear in fear, and hereafter they shall not again commit such evil among you. Your eye shall not pity, but life shall be for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Now, what is that? Go back, if you would, in verse 19. Then you shall do to him as he thought to have done to his brother. Okay? That's where it comes from. What they thought to do to the brother, if they're false witnesses and they're trying to do something evil,
mm-hmm,
turn around and give them the same penalty. Reminds me in the book of Esther.
Uh-huh.
Haman, when he was going to have his enemy hanged, and it wound up, Haman's the one that got to be hung,
uh-huh,
on the gallows that was fixed for Esther's uncle, Mordecai.
Right. Uh-huh.
You remember that?
No.
So it was, yeah, it's right there. It's pretty neat.
Wow, I have to go back and read that.
Yeah,
that
that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, when it comes to this passage right here, a lot of the times people will say, or critics will say, well, look, see, God, Jesus contradicts God because, you know, Jesus come and said, you've heard eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. But that's not the case. When it was written here, it was a judicial act, and so he didn't contradict himself. In fact, it was to keep people honest and to keep people understanding that if you steal whatever you steal from someone, that person, you owe them that person in return.
It was a deterrent.
That's right.
Amen.
People thought twice before they committed a crime.
888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Give us a call.
Consider the power of if. Of all the words God could have chosen to spur us on to revival, there is none greater than the word if, as it is found in 2 Chronicles 7:14. The word if transitions the weight of responsibility. It encourages personal and corporate responsibility. It demands action, authenticity, and sincerity. My prayer is that we, as His people, pay attention to Him and heed His call. During this election year, our whole country is considering what will happen if one candidate or another gets elected. Maybe we should be asking, what would happen if we return to God, His principles, His precepts? Will you ask Him to let personal revival begin with you, with me? I'm Bob Vanderplaats, president of the Family Leader in Iowa for OneCry.com.
Parenting is a multifaceted challenge, and it's important that our kids know our values.
Equip yourself as a parent with resources from the AFA Cultural Institute and parenting expert John Rosemond. These four DVDs on biblical parenting address the issues of discipline, seasons of parenting, the folly of modern child psychology, and raising teenagers. You'll find all the resources of the AFA Cultural Institute at afastore.net.
Dan Celia of Financial Issues.
You know, there is so much uncertainty about what to do and how to do it when it comes to this incredible responsibility to be a good steward of what God's entrusted us with. Whether it's a lot or a little, it's irrelevant. But it's a very scary prospect today in this day of volatility.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia every weekday morning from 8 until 10 Central and Saturday from 10 to 11 on AFR Talk.
Marquis Laughlin is founder of Acts of the Word Ministry and host of the radio and online show The Moral Dilemma. He challenges believers to develop a biblical worldview through dramatized illustrations and interpretive readings of the Bible.
They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among these were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah.
Marquis Laughlin is sure to be an entertaining speaker this year at the annual AFA Retreat at the Cove, October 3rd through 6th. Space is limited to 400 attendees, so make your plans soon. Get more information at afafoundation.net. Register by calling 800-950-2092, option 1, followed by option 2. It's the annual Retreat at the Cove in the beautiful Smoky Mountains of North Carolina at the Billy Graham Training Center in Asheville, North Carolina. And we hope to see you there.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain? Please let me stay and rest in your holy name. Word of God, speak.
Amen. That's what Exploring the Word is all about, Word of God, speak. I remember the first time I ever heard that song, and I just fell in love with it. And I said, Lord, speak to me through your word. And one of the funniest things, I was at the church where I was pastoring. We had this young lady. She was playing one of the instruments, and she was playing a song that was that I remember when it was brand new. And she said, I just love these old songs.
Yeah.
And put me in my place. So now, you know, Word of God speak, people say, oh, I remember those old songs. Well, I remember when it was brand new. But anyway, okay. Let's go to the phone lines. You ready, Wesley?
I'm ready.
Let's go to Mississippi and talk to Gary. Gary, welcome.
Hey, Brother Burke.
Hey, Gary.
And Wesley, how y'all doing?
Hey, we're doing great. How are you?
Well, good. I just wanted to call and thank Brother Burt for giving me the information on a fishbowl retreat for our pastor and his wife.
Well, Gary, and, thank you, brother, for wanting to do that for your pastor, man.
Yeah.
Well, listen, while we're doing that, Gary, I'll give a plug for it since you set it up. The fishbowl retreat is for pastors and their wives, and I hear people say, what about the women pastors? They can come as well, but we do it by the males and females when we break up. And Jan and I started this for pastors and wives, and we said that's the way it's geared. But you know, if the lady is a pastor, a minister, and her husband's not, they can come on, but they stick the ladies stick with the ladies and the men with the men when we break up into different groups. But it's October the 4th, 5th, and 6th up in Linden Valley Conference Center in Linden, Tennessee. It's a beautiful place on the Buffalo River, right surrounded by hills. In October, the leaves start turning just a little, not completely, but just a little. And it'll be 3 days and two nights, and it's $300 per couple. I just tell you, AFR doesn't make money on this. we spend a little bit of money for our pastors and wives. And so we would love for you to come. You can go to repairingthefoundations.net and register, and we'd love for you to do that. But Gary, I'm glad that you called and asked that for your pastor brother.
Yes, sir. I had a few other comments, but Brother Bert.
Go ahead.
If I can, Wesley, you really don't know who you're sitting by, do you?
No.
Some people have known me longer than they should have. I guess you get that right. Okay, go ahead, Gary.
Brother Bert has influenced our community almost, if not as much, as your granddad and Amen. Your father have.
Amen.
So I appreciate the love for God and the love for Jesus Christ and the ministry y'all have. But I'm worried about our country. To solve a problem with minorities and others, our city has already had a few protests and marches.
Mm-hmm.
But I have three things that can solve the problem.
Go, give them quickly, Gary, because we got other callers. Go ahead, brother.
I will. Yes, sir. Respect authority. Politicians, and especially police, especially your parents, mm-hmm. administrators and teachers in school, respect them. Say yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
Do not break the law.
Number two, don't break the law. Okay.
That's right. Don't break the law. If the minority would not break the law, they wouldn't have a problem.
Well, the majorities wouldn't either on that one, brother. Let me just share it with you. You know, we're all, I've been pulled over, okay, mm-hmm. for speeding. Wesley, have you ever experienced that?
Yes, and don't ask me how many times.
I know, I will not. I have a
we're
smile
on,
my
radio.
Face. Yeah. So, but yeah, you're right. Respect those and don't break the law. What's your third one?
Third one is fear God and keep his commandments.
Amen. Amen, Gary. Thank you, brother.
Thank you so much, Gary. You know, you're exactly right. And I'm so grateful about what you said at the beginning. You know, I've had the privilege and the honor to have Brother Bert as my boss, counsel, whatever you want to call him up here at AFA. Anytime, I remember the very, very first day that I came on staff full time, Dad took me into Brother Bert's office and said, if you have any questions, if anything comes up, this is the guy. And so ever since then, there's been things that's come up on the way, and I've gone to Brother Bert, and he's helped me out. And no, we do not talk about Mississippi State football ever. But no, I'm just, no, we talk a little bit about everything. But I've experienced, he's married my brother. He's married my sister, as well as been a pastor. For those listening that don't know Brother Bert and his history here in Tupelo, he's pastored for 35 years, or for 40 years, but 35 at one particular
well,
church.
Yeah, well, altogether, he's a staff member and pastor 32 years
32,
in the same
okay.
church. Yeah.
We'll see. And I've been influenced Tupelo, Mississippi very much. And thank you, Gary, for recognizing him for that. That's very much. And you're exactly right. We need to follow the law.
Well, let me just share this with you. I'm like Chuck Swindoll in this. I remember Chuck Swindoll. He was at a conference in Memphis, Tennessee. It was jam-packed. And he was said honored, and he said, you know, if all of you knew me the way my wife knows me, there wouldn't be this many people here. I never will forget that, you know.
Yep,
praise the Lord, those that know you really and know those weaknesses and those blind spots you have, and they love you anyway.
Yep.
Praise the Lord for those.
Praise
Amen.
God,
okay,
amen.
Let's go to Arkansas and talk to Philip. Philip, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hello, thank you so much.
Yes, sir, brother.
I heard you when you first opened up, you had a question about the 12 tribes, tribe after Joseph and the Levites, and you said you didn't quite understand it.
Well, I didn't say I didn't understand it. I said what I didn't understand, and this will help you, and it may help you to understand what I was saying. I said if I were selecting a tribe from the Messiah to come from, in place of Judah, if I looked at which one was the best and everything, I'd have probably selected Joseph. That's what I was referring to, brother. Go ahead, Philip.
Okay. What happened? Jacob adopted Joseph's two sons. And that's where Joseph got a double portion. But there's no tribe named after Joseph.
Right, Manasseh and Ephraim.
Isn't it Manasseh and Ephraim?
Yeah.
Right, and so that made 13 tribes. So when they got out of Egypt, then that's when God called the Levite tribe to be ministers to him, and the other 12 tribes are there to support the Levites.
Amen.
The Levites were to minister to God.
That's right. Amen, Philip. Let me share this with you. This is interesting, too, about that, Philip, that I and Wesley, that I found interesting. Ephraim would be the one that would get the greatest honor, but he was the second born. Okay? Going back to Isaac, he had Esau and then Isaac. Isaac was the child of promise.
Yes.
And then Isaac would have Ishmael. And then Isaac would have boys. Mm-hmm. And there would have Esau and Jacob. And Jacob was the second born.
Yes.
But he received the blessing. And even though the firstborn was always to get a double portion,
mm-hmm.
God took into consideration those that were not the firstborn and made a blessing from them. And Ephraim, he was the second son of Joseph. He would get a greater amount of honor than Manasseh mm-hmm. in him being the second born. It's just neat how God has operated all these years. Philip, thank you for that, and that's exactly right, brother. And I thank you for you listening and calling. Let's go to Louisiana and talk to Joshua. Joshua, welcome to Exploring the Word. Joshua, are you there? Okay, we're having trouble, and we'll see if you can get a hold of him, Brent, or if he can't, we'll see. Let me know if we get him there. There we get a busy signal. Talking about the 12 tribes, these 12 tribes that would occupy the land, the 13th tribe that Philip was talking about was Levi. And remember why they got that blessing? If you remember when they were getting the Ten Commandments and Moses was on Mount Sinai,
uh-huh.
and that's when they built that calf began to do idolatrous
thing. After God delivered them.
Yeah. And Moses comes down. And he breaks the tablets and all that. But then he asks a question, who's on the Lord's side? Guess who stepped over the line?
Who?
The tribe of Levi.
Yep.
And so they got a special portion. Some got a double portion, but some got a special, you'd call it a special portion, uh-huh. and that was the Levi, because it was during that period of time that God would demonstrate his power toward them. And so Levi, his tribe, and Moses was from the tribe of Levi,
uh-huh.
and his brother Aaron, and then so from the Aaron, you would have the priests coming, but the other Levitical, so he had three sons, and each one of them would be portions of ministering, they would minister in the temple as well. But Aaron's descendants were the one that would be the priest,
mm-hmm.
and it's one of the neatest, I'm just saying, when you study the 12 tribes and see where they occupied the land. The other thing is, there were three tribes that stayed on the east side of the Jordan River.
Uh-huh.
They occupied it, and they settled it, but guess what they had to do? They had to go over and fight with their other brothers to take the land that God had given them.
Interesting. Yeah.
It is. Mm-hmm. And so that's what you get for all that. We've got another caller ready from Louisiana, and it's Randy. Randy, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hello, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I have a comment first and then a question for you. But my comment is, my wife and I went to Israel back in March, and just the few people that I got to talk to, but our tour guide that's very, very, very knowledgeable, was very much in favor of Trump for president.
Huh.
Even with his shortcomings, and his thought was that God would, if he got in, he would take care of the shortcomings.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do, yeah, Randy, hold on, and I want you to make that. A lot of it has to do with the support for Israel, for his Trump. And I just read an article recently that the Republican Party, in their platform, they're going to put a very strong language in support of Israel. And so you know, that is true. And when I was over there several years ago, most of them, as far as the Jewish people, they were very in support of a Republican presidency because of their support in the past. So that is true. You got a question or a comment about something else, Randy?
I have a question from 2 days ago. I don't get to listen to all your show, but you were talking about the feast festivals. And the reason I got into that, my wife and I are with this teacher that's gone back to the Hebrew ways and the Torah, and my wife's really into it. I'm kind of on the fence about that. So your thoughts on how that applies to us today.
Okay.
And her, part of her deal is God never changes. So the fact that it's Old Testament, I kind of contend that Jesus on the cross kind of said a new thing. And she said, nope, he doesn't change. So we need to adhere to all that. And I just want to learn the best I can.
Okay.
And
that's a good question. Wesley, yeah. We got a little bit of time. You go ahead, and then we'll...
Sure.
Thank you, Randy, by the way.
Great question. Brother Bert, I'll let you handle the one about the festival. But the part where he said that she stated that God never changes, I know that's at least once in the New Testament. It's in the book of Hebrews. And that's referring to his character. That's referring to his actions. But there are some things that did change, obviously, because that's why you have the ceremonial laws, and then Jesus comes and says that that you no longer have ceremonial laws. So things do change, that's true. But when it says that he doesn't, that's talking about his character and who he is.
It is. Now what you would do if he did not change, Jesus dying on the cross, the book of Hebrews makes it plain there's no need of any more the blood of the goats
or
the
sheep.
There's no need of the sacrificial system.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the feast and the festivals, I find nothing wrong with people looking at them and learning from them.
Sure.
Okay? I have done that Passover. I've taken the Paschal meal. And I learned a lot, and I've learned a lot from studying the feast and the festivals. But to have them as a regimented requirement, the answer is absolutely no. You don't have to. And we worship Jesus Christ, who is the fulfillment of all of those.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus Christ fulfills everything. He came not to do away with the law, the moral law.
Mm-hmm.
He came to fulfill it. He came and he took care of the ceremonial law. He became the sacrifice that was needed. So there's no need of more sacrifice.
Well, we're set free in him.
We're set free in him, and in the fullness of God, all the Godhead dwells. You need more of Jesus.
Right.
This morning we had a great devotion, and it was one of the better devotions that we've had around here, even the ones that I've done. I'll put it this way. Jeff did a great job, and he was talking about this, and he was talking about Jesus Christ in the Bible. What you do is Jesus glorifying the Father. I came not to do my will, but I came to do the will of my Father, to glorify him. And then he stooped down and came to earth and live among us.
Yeah,
that was as great a sacrifice as anyone could have.
John,
and he did it to glorify the Father.
Yeah, John 15:5 is one of the verses he quoted, that apart from him, we can do nothing. We're the branch, he's the vine. Apart from him, we can do nothing.
Randy, let me give you this. Do not get caught up in trying to live the law in the Old Testament. Recognize it. I love to study it. I love to learn from it. But to make it a legality, to make it part of the ceremony, no. We have been set free in Christ Jesus. Wesley, thank you for being on with us today, brother.
It's been a joy. And just remember Alex, y'all guys, as he's traveling.
He's traveling. And everything goes right, he'll be back with us tomorrow. And think up some hard questions for Alex. Don't you agree?
I agree.
Okay. Again, thank you for listening. Tell someone about American Family Radio. Tell someone about Exploring the Word. But more importantly, tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.